We're looking at the seven blessings of godly abundance. Everybody say seven blessings, of godly abundance. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23. We're going to be reading "The Lord is my shepherd." This is a beautiful, familiar, popular psalm. I think almost everybody knows, a bit like the Lord's Prayer. And Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a beautiful psalm that David wrote. And perhaps David wrote this while he was standing after the many sheep that he was entrusted to look after. Now here's what I want to speak to you very clearly on. Too many of us live like paupers in the house of God, as opposed to living like princes and princesses. Because our stinking thinking keeps us from believing that God has only good intentions towards us. And we believe that because of who we are and where we have come from and our experiences in life, that we sometimes deserve what we are getting. But when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, when you choose to follow Him, when you make a focused, purposeful decision to follow Jesus, something happens when you make that decision. Firstly, you have access to eternity. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me and follows me can have eternal life." There is no other way for you and I to receive or have eternal life other than through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's something that's spiritual. But also in the natural, God promises us and assures us through our trials and tribulations that everything we need will be given to us to enable us to live our lives here on this earth. It's a bit like having biryani on a plate while you wait to get to heaven. You're having the feast of heaven here down on earth. In England, we'd say it's like having steak on a plate while you wait. It rhymes. So come on, we are children of the King of this universe. It's about time we learned to live that way. Live with that thinking, the right thinking that God wants us to have, with the right attitude, with the right motives, with the right intention, so our lives are full of the things of the kingdom of God. I'm not just talking about material abundance, but I'm talking about an abundance of your entire life. And we're going to unpack the seven things that we can pick up from this amazing psalm. The first thing is this. It says, "The Lord is who, shepherd?" You have a personal relationship with God. You don't need man, you don't need an institution, you don't need some woozy-woozy stuff to get to God. You have direct access to the Creator of this universe because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. You have a personal relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now that's hard to understand in a city like Mumbai. When you stick your head out of the window, all you hear is beep beep bop bop, dekho, beep beep bop bop, machiwale, pa pa. All you hear is noise and chaos. From the time you wake up, I mean, I go to bed with some banging and I wake up with some banging. There's some steel workers who work right through from 7 a.m. till, I don't know, 11 p.m. or something like that. It's always tuck, tuck, tuck right through my day. That's the noise that we have. But in the midst of this noise, God says what? He makes me lie down in pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now, to say this to an Englishman, I can understand. You can step out into the English countryside and you will hear the rivers running, and you can kind of connect with this. But in the city of Mumbai, can you connect with green pastures? I only see brown stuff everywhere and black popping up. It's hard to connect. But in the midst of this chaos, God provides a haven for you and me. So He makes provision for your physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. So we see that God has a personal relationship with you, and out of that personal relationship, He makes provision for your physical, personal, emotional, and spiritual needs. He restores my soul, the psalmist says. He refreshes you spiritually and emotionally. God is someone who restores us. And I want you to learn the essence of living in this hectic life with children and in-laws and outlaws and whatever else you have to deal with, and cooking and working and cleaning and managing your servants or the lack of them, whatever it is. We've got to learn that in the midst of this chaos, God has created an opportunity for our souls to be restored, for us to be at peace with ourselves, to be at peace with one another, and to have peace with God. He talks about a restoration, which means that there must have been some place where we lost touch, where we moved away. God restores your whose soul? Restores my soul. You know, I'd like you to understand and think of this as God pampering you. How many of you have been for a nice foot massage at a Thai foot spa? I went there the other day. Somebody gave us a gift voucher, and Niam and I popped into this very dark place and with a Thai foot massage. They seat you down, the lights are as low as can be, and this guy was working on my foot, and by the time he finished working on my feet, I almost thought I was in heaven. I mean, it was just amazing. I didn't realize working from your knee down could create such a euphoric feeling. You know, I felt so pampered. Then they bring you sweetly cut fruit and then a nice juice to drink, and you're sitting in this darkness circling. I don't want to leave, but my 900 bucks is over and I've got to go now. I've got to step out into Bombay, boom, in the streets of Bandra. Bright lights, noise, and everything else. But God, He finds those moments in our hectic day where we can connect with Him personally, and He will restore our soul even in the midst of chaos and trials. Sometimes we believe that we don't have access to that, and we only focus on the chaos, on the trials. Listen, Jesus has already paid the price. All you got to do is check in and say, God, pamper me. Just get into His presence and allow the presence of God to strengthen you and to restore your soul. The psalmist goes on to say, he says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When you yield to God's leading in your life, everybody say, when I yield, which means when I give in. When I give in to God's leading in my life, He will lead you to a place of abundance, and He purposes your life. You're not just living purposelessly. You're not just living from one day to the next, one paycheck to the other. There is a purpose to your life. There is a purpose to your getting up, and a purpose to your resting, and a purpose to your activity. I want to encourage you in this year to assess your entire life and make sure that your life is lived purposeful. That whatever you do is focused and purposed. If you're resting, rest. If you're busy, make sure your busyness is purposeful, and that it will achieve something rather than just a busyness of activity. You need to have a busyness that produces something. You and I were created to be productive. Come on. How many of you love creating things? Women, why do you like cooking? Because you want to feed your husband? No. It's because you like producing things. And when you cut that chicken and melt the butter and fry it all together and the masala comes out, you enjoy what you've produced. And when you bring it on the table, if the husband goes, I mean, that's his last night at home. He's going to appreciate what you've done because you put a lot of value and worth and wealth into producing that curry or whatever you did. Why? Because God created us to be productive. At work, when you do things, you're not just doing them. Do them with the right motive. God has purposed your life. Do it with everything you've got. And when you do it, your boss will notice that. And he will see the difference between you and somebody else who just watches the clock. Who works tick-tock to the clock. How many of you manage people? It's so difficult when people work to the clock. Now, I'm not saying you need to put in extra hours, but I'm saying when you work to the clock, work with 100%. Give it everything you've got. Because God leads you to a place of abundance, and He purposes your life. He will always lead us to a place of righteousness. In other words, a place where you are right with God and you are right with man. Don't allow relationships to remain unrestored. Don't allow relationships to be broken. You mean I have learned the principle of working at relationships. Relationships never just happen. You've got to be intentional. You've got to be purposeful. You sometimes need to pursue people in the right way. Don't stalk them, you know, like you do on Facebook. But, not that you do, maybe you do, but be purposeful in establishing and building relationships. So as you're right with God, you pursue your relationship with God, and you pursue a relationship with the people that God brings into your life. John says that when we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive and cleanse us. And that is why He leads us and guides us to that place of righteousness. The psalmist goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Both these symbols, the rod and the staff, are symbols or pictures of God's power to protect you. God protects you. The amount of times you may have been, should have been pushed off a train. The amount of times you should have been run over by the auto driver. You don't know when God was watching you. London's a fairly safe place to cross a road, but I was crossing the roads to get to the train station, and it was a fairly high pavement. I put my foot down. And London buses have their motor at the back. And so you don't hear the bus till after it's kind of gone past you. And I did not see this bus coming. And I remember putting my foot down, and all of a sudden I just felt like a presence of a weight that just pulled me back again. It was not instinct because I never saw the bus. But I looked back and I said, that was God protecting me from being run over head on by a double-decker bus. And as I stepped back, I had the motors go. Thank you. I was so focused on getting to my train. You don't know the times God has protected your life. You don't know the times that He has saved you. Because sometimes we're not even aware. But God promises that when we live in a place of abundance, He will protect us. He will protect you. Amen. That is the abundance that God promises us. So you can be assured of His protection. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God's love for you. Isn't that good? Nothing at all. God doesn't know what it means to be separate from us when He has joined us together through Jesus Christ. The psalmist goes on to say, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's like God saying to your enemies, na 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 na. That's what it is. So he's sitting there and saying, people are cussing you, they're wishing you ill, they're wishing you fail, and he goes, na 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 na. In the presence of my enemies, He prepares a banquet. Come on. That's how much God values you. People can speak ill about you. People can run you down in this year. Maybe they already have. People can think ill of you, but God sits back and he says, he's one of mine. Na 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 na. He is watching. He says, in the presence of my enemies, he doesn't just prepare a banquet. He pushes the limits out. The Bible says that he anoints my head with oil. Now, the anointing of a person's head is significant of a kingly, priestly anointing. So in the presence of your enemies, when they say, hey, you're nothing, nothing good should come of you. I wish ill of you. I don't want you to succeed. I hope you don't, your career doesn't go forward. God will come for you. God will get behind you and say, watch now, as I anoint him. And as the oil comes down, I anoint your head with oil. And it goes on to say, my cup runneth over. God's not a conjuicy. See, we think he is because we live like a pauper. God doesn't understand the word little. He is an abundant, it is within his character. He is not a miser, he is not a conscious person. And so he says, my cup runs over. It's a picture of ongoing, overflowing abundance in your life. You know, sometimes when people will hold you back, sometimes managers will shortchange you at work. You need to know that God will promote you in the midst of your enemies. God will promote you. He is the best PR agency you could ever have. We've been through harrowing times of people running us down personally, saying things about us that are not true, and you don't have the opportunity to talk back. But we have learned not to worry about what people say, to make sure that our relationship with God is right and with the people is right. And God will deal with the issues in our life. Amen. It is not, the Bible says, vengeance is not mine. In other words, it is not my role to strike a brother or a sister for them being mean to me. Leave that to God. Jesus never did. When they accused him falsely, he stood there and he remained silent. And God raised him from the 3 days, everybody, all of hell was having a party. Hey, Jesus is dead. Yay, Jesus is dead. We defeated him. He said he was going to come back to life. 3 days, he kept them sweating in hell. And then, on the third day, what did he do? He rose again. You see, that is the power, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within you. That same power is at work in your life. Now listen to this, and I love this. Everybody say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. With confidence you can say, and with confidence I know, that goodness and mercy will follow me. The inseparable twins of God's abundance. Goodness and mercy. What does the Bible say? Goodness and mercy shall do what? Follow you how? All the days of my life. I want two people to come up. Two people. Here's goodness and here's mercy. Whatever I do, you follow me. Wherever I go, you follow me. So you've got to get behind me. Alright? So this is goodness and this is mercy. And what does the Bible say? Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Wherever I go, what's following me? Wherever you go, what is following you? Whatever you're doing, when you're sleeping, what do you have with you? When you're a bit naughty, what do you have with you? When you're at work or stressed out, who's with you? Goodness and mercy shall follow you all. How long, for? All the days of my life. Come on. Isn't that good? I want you to picture when you wake up in the morning. Hey, goodness and mercy, good to see you. Let's get to work now. Come on. Put some makeup on. Have a shave, whatever you ladies do. Make sure I'm looking. Am I looking good enough? Step up. I know you ladies don't have shades. All right, I'm not. Anyway, I'm sorry. It was a bad illustration. Cut. All right. Whatever you do to wake up in the morning, I have a shave in the morning sometimes. But whatever you do to look good, goodness and mercy is with you. When you look in the mirror, you're not alone. God's goodness and mercy is with you. Goodness is saying to me, hey, listen, you're a good guy. I know you failed last time, but you're a good guy. Mercy says you don't deserve it, but you're going to get it anyway because God loves me abundantly. Amen. So many of them keep going, oh man, goodness and mercy. Come on, you're a good guy. Mercy says you don't deserve it. I'm going to give it to you anyway. You see how God puts a check on our lives. And we look at ourselves in the mirror and go, hey, God, I'm so useless. It's me again. It's you. What hope is that for me? Last year was so lonely. Nothing worked out. Come on, it's a new year. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of and what? I will do what? Dwell in the house of the Lord. God has a place for you in His home. Thank you so much. Please give a big round of applause. God has a place for you in His home. It's where you belong. There is the spiritual home of belonging to God, and then God places us in families like this, groups and churches across the world, where you belong, where He places you, where He wants you to flourish and grow and become all that you need to be. Amen. And so God has placed you in a place of abundance. I want to close with this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 12. And, you know, just read this. It's just an amazing scripture. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist put it, He throws caution to the wind, giving it to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with who? With you. He's more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into fully formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. The purpose God blesses you, the purpose God brings you into a place of abundance is so that you can be a blessing to other people. You can be a blessing with your talent. You can be a blessing with your skill. You can be a blessing with your finances. You can be a blessing with your time and your emotions, your intellect, your home. Everything that God has given you belongs to Him. Remember, you all say, God gave me this, God gave me that. Who does it belong to when God gives you something? We are stewards. I'm going to unpack this in the next few weeks. We are stewards of everything that God gives us. My home is not my home. It might have your name on it, but it doesn't belong to you. God has entrusted that home. The wealth that you have, He has entrusted to you. So as you become a good steward, the children that you have, He has, Bible says they are a gift from God. I don't own them. I have no right over them. They belong to God. But I have full responsibility to nurture them, to care for them, to bring them up in the ways of God, and to help them to grow and move forward in God. You and me. And then God can decide to do whatever He wants with the children that He gave me. And that cycle goes on and on. Nothing that we have is our own. God entrusts us with what we have. I'm going to unpack this in the next few weeks, the principles of stewardship in our lives. And how, when we understand this, how abundance can become part of who we are. I love this, and I'm going to close with this. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is a place for you in God's home where you belong. So what are the seven blessings of godly abundance? The first thing is, say this with me, I have a personal relationship with God. Secondly, He promises to protect me. Thirdly, He promises to provide for me. God will promote me.
God will promote me.
He purposes my life.
He purposes my life.
And His goodness and mercy pursue me.
His goodness and mercy pursue me.
And He has a place for me where I belong. Amen. As we share communion this morning, I want you to make your personal commitment to God for this new year. I have an anagram that I'm going to use this year, which is GROW. G-R-O-W. I want for each of us to grow, which go reach our world. So we need to grow in every way so as we can go reach our world. Amen? And that's the reason God gives us everything that we have. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You that You blessed us with so many good things, and help us to be good stewards of what You have entrusted to us. Help us and to really understand that we can live as, not as paupers, but as children of the King of this universe. And we just choose today to commit and submit our lives to You afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.